to today's Word of Mom Radio here on the Word of Mom Media Network. I'm your host, Dori DiCarlo, and you know we are here week after week, show after show, just breaking those myths that mompreneurs and businesswomen are just dabbling in between bake sales and getting our nails done. We're not. We are smart, we are savvy, and we are sharing the wisdom of women in business and in life. And we have been sharing a lot about homeschooling, and I'm excited to be bringing today's expert in. Apart from that, let me just give you her business background. Jessica Mead is the founder and CEO of the fully integrated marketing agency, BrandLink. She's also co-founder and managing partner of Drivonic and Epic Companies and Mead Holding Group, which has a portfolio of angel investments that encompass more than 20 companies. Jessica has also become one of the foremost experts in the alternative, supplemental, and customized education, pioneering a curriculum that is enviable of both traditional teachers and alternative education experts. Jessica is seldom seen without her children as she homeschools them full time. So with all of that being said, Jessica, welcome to Word of Mom Radio.
Oh, thank you for having me today. I appreciate you bringing me on your show.
It is my pleasure. So I'm going to jump right in and ask you about hidden curriculum. What is hidden curriculum and why should parents care?
Well, hidden curriculum, it's a tricky thing because what it means is that it's that unwritten, that unintended lesson that's not built into the curriculum, but it's there. It's the values and perspectives that students learn and pick up throughout their educational journey. It's basically it's a side effect of schooling. They're learned, but they're not intended. For example, a good one is curricular topics. Subjects that teachers choose for courses and lessons, they may convey different ideology, cultural, ethical messages. One teacher may approach history from, let's say, here in the U.S., from that standpoint. But they're leaving out the perspective of, let's say, Native Americans, colonized Africans, Asians, things like this. So it's a perspective. Another one that really I think parents are probably seeing now is teaching strategies. So when a child is in school, a student learns to earn good grades or extra credit for turning in homework on time, to sit there and listen attentively, raise their hand, don't get out of their seat. They're told to be compliant. And this behavior is rewarded academically. So it allows them to think that by behaving this certain way and being compliant, that they're going to do well in school. I don't necessarily agree with this. I know that teachers have to have some type of control in a classroom, but what is it that we're teaching them long-term, becoming grown-ups, going out into society, and becoming really adults with a growth mindset versus a fixed mindset? I talk a lot about that. So if you have instructional strategies like project-based learning or community-based learning, these types of learning instill skills like critical thinking, problem solving, resourcefulness, self-motivation, negotiation skills. All of these are really important. So if you look at it, you kind of look at the different ways that teaching is approached and what it actually means for a child. So I like to speak on this because it also brings in social expectations for gender, language, morals. All of this is part of the hidden curriculum, and it varies greatly based on where you are in the United States. You have very distinct hidden curriculum in certain regions, like in the South, that you wouldn't have in the Midwest. So paying attention to this, and now that a lot of kids are doing distant learning and they're seeing how their child is sitting in front of a Zoom meeting for 8 hours, which is so bizarre to me that they're requiring, especially these elementary kids, to do this, how they have to sit there and just listen and pay attention. And you knowing your child, know that your child is not built for that. But then you kind of watch them and you're like, oh, my kid's so good. They just sat there in front of that computer. Well, that's because of the hidden curriculum and how they've been trained to behave. So it alters them at the core of who they are and how they function. I also believe this is a big reason we see once a child moves into first, second grade, we lose a lot of that imagination and creativity because they're told they have to sit there. They have to sit down. They have to raise their hand. They can't use the restroom. They can't talk to their neighbor. All of these things, and it starts young. And then as you move into high school, you start really thinking about all the ways that this is implemented. It kind of freaks you out a little bit and you go, well, do I want that for my child? It's a huge reason we homeschool.
In homeschooling, because so many people are choosing that alternative, and we've said it before, you know, what happened in the spring, that was COVID schooling. You know, that was just everybody having to be home and people trying to get things together. Now the options are there. And I think a lot of parents have decided that homeschooling works better for their children, regardless of whether it was the hidden curriculum, whatever is going on, that they realize that their children are doing well with that. So in that vein, what type of physical learning environment should parents consider to have in place to have the best results for their kids when they're homeschooling?
This is a really good question because most people will tell you that you need to set up a space and develop a routine. But in order to answer this for yourself, you have to know, I think you have to know your child's learning style. Understanding this will help you best determine how to approach this with your child. Do they need a designated area, like be away from other family members? Can they work at a kitchen table, or do they need a separate workspace specifically set up with them with all their manipulatives and everything there? Do they need access to outside? You know, do they need to take a break every 20 to 30 minutes? So with homeschooling for us and my family, I only need 2 to 2.5 hours with a child to get everything in. And all day, every day is a learning and educational process for us. We incorporate it in everything that we do. So it's not a let's move to this desk set up in this room and work on it. The unfortunate thing with distant learning right now is that the kids are required to participate for the 8 hours. And we all know the reasons behind that as far as funding and why they are requiring this. It's a really tricky thing that's happening. But
right.
These kids, they don't need the 8 hours in front of a computer or to sit there and watch and, you know, play with their hair and whatever they're doing that's, you know, distracting them. So I think what it is, for example, my son Jackson, okay, he's a good mix of several different type of learning styles. He would rather stand at a desk and do work that way, or a table or wherever. He can work anywhere. He can work in the middle of a museum, out in the field. It doesn't matter. My daughter Isabella, she likes things more structured. She likes to have somewhere to sit. It doesn't have to be a desk, but she has to have somewhere to sit where she can get in her zone and she feels like she has the space and area to just work. So understanding your child is where you need to begin with that. If you're setting up a cute, you see all these cute little things on Instagram where parents have set up this little schoolroom or workspace for their child. And I think that's more for the parent to feel like they've done this, so they've prepared their child, but really pay attention to your child, know your child, learn them and how they best pay attention and see how they best learn and go from there. Let that guide you and you'll have way better results, better retention overall. It'll be completely different.
What are the best ways to relieve the kid parent stress around learning at home?
Well, you know, relieving parent stress, I would say, and I've had a lot of these conversations, just take a breath and realize that with all these new learning and living conditions that are going on, it's going to be super challenging for everyone. There's going to be days when you feel like a superstar, you have this plan and you're executing on all levels, especially for moms in this group that listen to this podcast. We work, we have thriving business life as well as being parents and spouses. And I know that there are going to be moments where this chaos happens and the day starts to unravel, everything falls apart, and I say quit that day and start over tomorrow. You're not going to destroy your child by doing that. What you're going to do is show yourself in your kids' mercy, and you just let it go and, you know, play with them, pivot the mindset, because what we're doing is we're feeling our family life now with all this anxiety and stress about accomplishing the school at home. And it really becomes hard. It puts this unnecessary strain on the family unit. And I would say, too, you know, I have to be super flexible. I always have. My business revolves around my family. We've built all of our companies that way. I have a certain amount of time in the morning that I work, and everybody that works for me knows the period of time that is dedicated to my children only, and I will circle back up later in the afternoon with follow-up emails, calls, anything that needs to happen. During the time when I'm working, I let their interests drive them, regardless of the age. If they connect with what they're curious about and they do things based on that interest, their retention is far greater because they're super engaged in what they're doing. This is the truth for any age, from age 1 to age 90. It's just common sense. If you allow them to have the time to do stuff there is. So for my daughter, she reads. For my son, it's always something with science or animals. And so when I'm busy with my work stuff, I make sure that they're set up with things they're interested in. And we have a much smoother workflow throughout our day.
I love that because I'm a very hands-on. I was a hands-on parent. I'm a hands-on grandmom. And although I'm Mimi to my grandson, but I... you know, would do the Liberty Science Museums. When my kids had their school vacations twice a year, those week to 10 days or three times a year, we would go down to Washington, D.C. for a week and we would do museums four times, four different days of different museums because they were always, they loved to learn. And I'm a hands-on, I'm a tactile person. I would take them places where they could hold animals or touch different things. And because I really do feel when you involve kids, it makes it so much more fun to explain things. My grandson loves this thing. It's called Rocktopus. And it's this really cool octopus and it's music, but, you know, it's teaching math. It's teaching rhythm. It's teaching all these different things. And he's not even 2.5 yet. And it's amazing the stuff that he retains and does. And then the other things that he just plays with. But each time he plays, he learns something else. So I'm going to ask, other than those kind of things, what other resources do parents have that they can help their kids with subjects that they may not know well or like or do well? I'm dyslexic, so math, not my strong suit. My kids worked out their math problems together. But for things like that with math and science, where can parents go?
Well, like you just said, with the museums, I think – I've tapped into this way early. I started teaching Isabella in second grade, and I found that museums, their websites, they have great information and resources. A lot of them, when we're not in the circumstances we are now, they have homeschooling classes, which you can go to. They're free of charge. They're phenomenal. I can't tell you how engaged my kids have been through some of these classes, but with my daughter, a good resource for some of those things because she's in high school. And let's be honest, I mean, I don't remember all of the math from high school. We rely on Khan and some of the other places that are good for that. But I would say from kindergarten through about ninth grade, Brain Pop is fantastic. There's so much on there, so much knowledge, and there's quizzes and interactive games and all sorts of things. We've used Brain Pop Junior and Brain Pop, I would say, probably for the last 10 years. Adapted Minds is a great source, especially for math. I know you can use it for almost everything, including science, history, English. But for math, it's really great. Code.org is another great source. Science for Us. One thing we love that we use for science, and my kids do this together. And now, mind you, my daughter is 16 and my son is 9, but they love doing this together. We get those Tinker Boxes by KiwiCo, and Little Passports have the science boxes. They're amazing. But for Isabella, I use Mel Science, which is phenomenal. And also with KiwiCo, they have projects for teenagers as well. So there's so much out there that you can utilize to supplement if you're not doing homeschooling like I am, or you're just trying to supplement with what they're lacking in school. There's some really great resources out there. My kiddos have been to 29 countries, and I like to share the story that we go into a country. We go to their museums. They have science centers. We embrace the culture and the food, and we kind of just immerse ourselves into this environment, and we talk about it and take what we can out of it. And people go, well, how is that education? How are they learning? And I start to break it down like, that's phenomenal. You know, we were talking about things that parents can do, and you had mentioned just playing with them. And I think a lot of parents, that scares them because they feel like playing isn't educational. But what they don't know is that learning isn't an on and off thing. Their brains are naturally curious, and we may not understand why they're doing it or what they're playing or how, you know, what they're getting out of it. But the discovery and the way they solve things and the curiosity, if we just let them play unstructured and without directive, doing this alone is expanding their mind and is educational in ways that we can't sit there and ingrain in them ourselves. So I think just allowing these things, these natural things for our children to do is so very, very important. But there are some really great resources out there for the things that, as parents, we're a little bit scared about teaching them ourselves, mainly math and science.
On that note, we're going to take a quick break, say thank you to our sponsors, and we'll be right back here on Word of Mom Radio.
We all know a survivor. Some of our friends and family have made it through difficult times. Some of us don't make it. Losing a loved one to cancer, a car accident, or any other unfortunate event can be crippling and unavoidable. But one of the hardest subjects to talk about is suicide. Too often, our youth decide that leaving this place is easier than facing the struggle forced upon them every day. More than one in four children go through some form of bullying or another. Most of us survive with scars, but for some, the inner demons created cannot be recognized or treated in time to ensure they make it through. Bullying in every form is very much avoidable. It starts with me, and it starts with you. This is Kelly Carius from No Such Thing as a Bully, reminding you to do your part when you see bullying happen. If you don't know what that is, call 403-447-4404 or go to nosuchthingasabully.com.
From the beach to a ball game, from your office to a locker, StadiumBags.com has the clear bags for you. Don't let our name fool you. We are not just for sports fans. The great thing about our bags is, yes, they meet the size requirements for pro and college sports. More importantly, they have the quality, versatility, and style that will stand up to years of use. You can feel free to clean your bags with the solvents that are going to keep the germs away from your home and your personal belongings and still make safety and convenience coexist. So find us at StadiumBags.com. You'll see why we are your clear choice, because safety, it's in the bag.
And we're back here on Word of Mom Radio with Jessica Mead. We are talking about the different things going on with learning right now. Well, homeschooling, the difference between homeschooling and distance learning. You know, me, myself, just even before all of this, if my kids are grown and gone, I have a 2.5-year-old grandson, almost 2.5, and my granddaughter's 2.5 months old, I would be homeschooling. And I've told my kids that if they decide to go that route, I will take a semester every year, but they go on the road with me. I can't believe somebody would say to you, how can kids learn while you're traveling? Are you kidding me? I mean, that to me is like the best. Who needs a history book or, any kind of a book when you go to a country and immerse yourself in their culture? I was in China for 9 days working. I worked for 4. I stayed the other 5. I spent 3 days in their museum because it's remarkable what you learn. So I applaud you for taking your kids. Good for them. But I have to ask especially because Isabella is older, with high school kids, how do parents, a lot of parents worry about how this is going to impact their college process. So let's talk about that.
Okay, so I will approach this from two directions. First, I will say that I've talked with educators at all levels in many states, and the process right now with high school students is vastly different. But I think all in all, schools are making big allowance for classes, trying to keep the actual work per course on track. But I do know that colleges and universities are already making exceptions for applicants. Like right now for the next year, SAT and ACT tests will not be a factor. They're having to look at the process and realize, well, we can't expect every child to be able to take these tests, especially when they're not doing the tests in some states. So they're really taking the approach of how do we be fair to everyone. I know, like I said earlier, it's very daunting for parents because they feel like if they don't do it by the book and how they did education and how everybody tells them education should be, that they're failing and their child is going to fail and they won't have the same opportunities. And I think if they would just back up and look at it a little different and work what is best for my child overall and how do we ensure that they're set up to best succeed in the world as a grown adult, not just to get out of high school and into college. Are they going to college? What are their goals? So I think at some point we disconnect with our kids and we kind of just allow the education process to govern and guide them into their future. And we just allow that to happen and we're not as connected to them. And so, especially in our family, and a lot of families that I'm deeply connected with, we view our children as global citizens. We want them to be well-rounded and prepared. Emotional intelligence, financial literacy, all of these things are just as important to us as reading and writing and science and all of that. So with high school, now for my children, you can have transcripts made based on the courses that you put together for your children. There's nothing that says a homeschooling child will not get into college. In fact, they have better entrance rates. They score higher on most of the tests. They are self-driven going into college. So a lot of universities look at that and they realize they're not going to have issues with the child not being able to get their work done. So there's so many benefits either way. I don't think at this point parents should be extremely worried because schools are working hard to make sure that they aren't having any major hiccups getting into college.
How can parents better understand their kids, their learning styles and things like that are going to help set them up for success?
Oh, this is a question I get a lot, and this is something I talk about. So if you take the time and learn what the different learning styles are, and then you pay attention to how your kiddo retains and responds best, you, in general, you should just do this with your child. If your kid goes back into school, let's say in the spring, and everything is back to normal as best as it can be, figuring out how your child learns is going to help you just with when they bring homework home. I mean, if you think about it, so many parents prior to this would say, oh, I hate homework. We do hours of homework. We fight. I don't know how to work with my child. I have to get a tutor. We just fight and disagree, and we don't get along, and it's turmoil in our house. If parents would take the time and understand the different learning styles and where their child fits, what blend they are, then they're going to avoid a lot of those frustrations. But I want you to think of learning style more as a tool to figure out how to play to your child's strengths, but not avoid the weaknesses. Because as an adult, your child will not have someone customizing their day based on the fact that she or he is audible and visual. And so it's important to have a good mix. So I know what strengths my children have, but I also kind of push in those weaknesses to kind of get them to be more well-rounded. And that really helps us. Some of the questions, you know, to ask yourself to figure these things out are like I said earlier with my son, do they stand to do most things? Is their comprehension better when they listen or read? Do they like to have things in their hands? Like with a child, do they do better with the counters, you know, the little counter manipulatives in their hands versus seeing them on a worksheet? Like with my daughter, she could look at a worksheet and do all of her work and be done in 30 minutes. As a child, we did use a lot of worksheets, but my son, he would look at that and stare at that for 20 minutes, but you give him the little pieces with the 5, 10, 15, 20 on them, and he's done like that. So you know this, and you avoid all these frustrations. I believe that there are 8 styles, that there are 8 learning styles. There's visual, which is spatial, verbal, linguistic, oral, you know, auditory, musical, kinesthetic, which is physical, logical, social, interpersonal, and solitary interpersonal. And I believe that there's an ACE style, which is naturalistic. So, but I break all of that down on my website through my homeschooling link and stuff like that for, you know, for future reference if people want to know more about that. But I would think understanding this, it would alleviate so much stress with education, but also family stress. So in general, I think it's good to learn.
What are your predictions for what is coming in the school year? Not only just for the end of the, you know, this semester now, but coming into, you know, January for spring.
Well, I'm already seeing this from educators that I know. My very best friend is a high school English educator, and they're feeling very overwhelmed, unsupported. They weren't extremely prepared going into this, so they constantly feel like they're fighting a battle of how do I get my students engaged? How do I keep them accountable? How do I measure success? All of these things have been super frustrating, especially for the teachers. And I know that the kids, I've talked with dozens of families that they feel like all they're doing is homework all day long. And so I think moving into the next semester, we're going to see a lot of families that analyze and go, why am I doing this? What are my options here? How can I make flow better for not only my child, but for us as a family? So I think we're going to see a lot of parents be forced to engage in a different way and consider what their options are going to be. And I think when we're put into that uncomfortable area, especially when it comes to our children, we're kind of forced out of this comfort zone. We're no longer humming through the school year, and now we have to take this into our own hands. It's actually a really good thing. I think it's going to make parents better engaged. They're going to understand all of their options. And I've already seen families go, you know, gosh, I really love the Sudbury style of homeschooling. Or, man, I love unschooling. This is, we love to travel. We can work from anywhere. This is our style. You know, so there's some really cool things that are happening in families. And I think we're going to see family units get closer. I'm concerned about the children who rely on resources for school. That's a big one for me and a pretty deep topic. I'll just touch on it lightly. They rely on those resources for love and to feel safe and for food. For Matt and I, this is a big conversation that we have, something that we're working towards in the future with our companies. So I'm concerned about those kids. We're going to see a big divide. The kids who can, the parents who can switch up their education, and then the parents who are stuck, and these kids kind of get lost in the mix.
If parents decide to keep their kids home after, you know, this whole distance learning this semester and realizing that homeschooling is a better option, how should they start preparing now?
Well, so it depends on if they're choosing to continue to do distant learning. I know a lot of schools are allowing that. They're giving the families option if you want to do distant learning or if you want to allow your kids back in the classroom. So I think that really changes the direction of the conversation. Because if they're going to continue distant learning, it's that set curriculum that mimics the scope and structure of a classroom. They're going to be on Zoom or in a required workspace. Whereas homeschooling, as we talked about earlier, allows the family to use many different styles and completely customize the curriculum and pace to be more conducive to the child and the family.
That's what I'm wondering about. If parents decide this semester, you know what, this distance learning isn't working because I don't want my child sitting in front of a Zoom camera all day long, like as if they were in a classroom, because they're not. So if they... do they even have that option to go to the school and say, you know what, we've decided we're going to homeschool? Or is that a district-by-district policy?
I can't speak for every state. I know that in several states, you can pull your child out and choose to homeschool. Some govern it where you have to sign up and be sort of audited by the school district. Other states, you just pull your kid out and you start going. I recommend having a plan in place when you do that, to educate yourself ahead of time. But, you know, homeschooling comes in so many forms, and it gives the family options to educate based on the needs and learning style, as well as how they want to shape the education. I mean, we focus on interest-based learning. We create learning paths based on our child's interest. And for me, this guarantees my children's retention and a continuous love for learning. You know, being the teacher in my family, to me, is an honor, and I take it very serious. But I also know that we're growing as a family unit. So there's so many benefits that people don't see. But this past spring, threw so many families into this distance learning, and we saw headlines everywhere and little funny memes about homeschooling and our kids and how, you know, about the mom being the homeschool teacher and drinking wine and all of these things. And they were funny. We all kind of laughed it off. But it gave parents this bad experience because they're like, oh, now I'm homeschooling. You know, it felt like busy work, homework. They were having to work from home. So we really need parents to have an open mind and sort of take a step back and look at it and see all the benefits that come with it and not feel overwhelmed by it like they did in the spring.
I would have to agree because, again, you know, in the spring, this went from going to school to everything being closed. I mean, it was not homeschooling, it was COVID learning. It's a very different aspect of all of that. But I really appreciate everything that you're sharing here. I wish this would continue on, but we have to wrap up, actually.
Ah, okay.
What would you like to leave our parents with? Pardon me?
I told you I could talk and talk.
Well, no, you know what? And it's such important information. And because there is a big difference, and this is what parents need to understand. The difference between homeschooling and distance learning is completely different, you know, and
absolutely.
Distance learning requires that commitment of the entire day of school, as opposed to homeschooling, like you said, which is just, it's a completely different, it's a two and a half hour day of actual, quote unquote, I'm doing my finger quotes, schoolwork. Cooking dinner is a math lesson, a science lesson. You know, a lesson
absolutely.
In cooperation. It you know, there every single thing in life is a lesson. And so as parents, we have such an opportunity here to realize that for some of our kids, learning from home is a better strategy for them. You know, it's so funny because for me, Jessica, if I were, you know, with my kids young, as I said earlier, I would actually be talking to a bunch of other parents. And going, okay, look, why don't we share this? And, you know, I'll do Monday, you do Tuesday, you do Wednesday, you know, and because we have to widen our circles little by slow. So if you have a few kids and we're swapping our germs, it increases our immune systems. We're still keeping it within a small group, but we're sharing the learning experience, you know, and things like that. So
absolutely.
There's so many ways that we could cooperate with each other for the betterment of our kids, because I would have to say 1,000% that homeschool kids are going to test higher. You know, the myths are gone that when you homeschool, your kids aren't socialized and things like that. There are so many ways for kids to socialize with other children.
Oh,
there just
yes.
are. And
we can have a whole other
conversation about it. And, you know, I do want to ask you, and I don't care that we're going to run over, what should you really talk to your kids about before we wrap this up? What are the most important things to make sure your kids are aware of during these times?
Well, I'm glad you asked, because I think this is one of the most important things to keep in mind, is that you need to explain to your kids that you're not angry or overwhelmed with them. They need to feel comfortable and open to learning in this new environment, whether it be distant learning or you switch it up and try some form of homeschooling. The mind shift needs to shift from anxiety to opportunity. It's a time to grow and learn together. Discover how to work, learn, and engage on a family level versus separately. You'll become better communicators because in reality, you can't yell at them all day, and you need to cooperate and discover how to be together all day and make it work. You lean on each other, let the kids know that they need to work together. Our kids teach each other, and that's an amazing thing. I think we should look at this as an opportunity versus a crisis. There's no shuffling them from place to place. There's no time or clock driving your decisions. And if you really embrace the opportunity here, you'll see what an incredible gift this really can be for us as families.
I have said it so many times that 10 years from now, when you ask your 5-year-old or your 8-year-old, your 12-year-old, 10 years from now, when they're 15 and 18 and 22, this is going to be the best time. Not because of what has gone on, but because they got to be home. They didn't have to worry about getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning for school. They were engaged with their parents. They worked together. I think that our kids can benefit tremendously from this, and they do learn from us. If we're stressed, they're stressed. So I love
Absolutely.
What you say about letting them know that you're not angry with them and all of these things, that they have to look at it as a positive. And what can we work on and learn today? So as
Sure.
we wrap up, Jessica, let everybody know how to reach you and the different resources for them on your website.
If you go to my website, it's just jessicamead.com. I have a lot of links on there for information about homeschooling and different things that we talked about. On Instagram, it's super easy. I'm _JessicaMead_. You can find me there. On Facebook, I'm JessicaMeadOfficial. And on Twitter, I'm Jessica_Mead. So it's pretty easy to find me. And you can always send me a message and reach out to me. I have a lot of personal conversations. I like to take the time because every family, every child, every situation is unique, both in personal and business life. And I'm always willing to help or have conversations. I feel like you and I could have 20 other conversations based on how today went. So it was really a positive thing for me. I appreciate you having me on today.
It's my pleasure because, as I said, you know, in everything that is going on, we need to be sharing more and more shows about the positive and all of the things that are out there for you, for your children, because that's our most precious resource. And teaching them and keeping them healthy and safe in these times, regardless of these times, you might find that your child learns best at home. And you might have, quote unquote, been forced into that option to begin with. But for all of you out there that realize this is best for my child, I'm glad that you are here, Jessica, sharing resources and information for parents to know that they can do this and have a successful business, or two, or three, or four, you know, as you and your husband
yes.
do. So, I mean, all of these different things. You can do this all. So, Jessica, thank you for taking the time to be here with us today. For all of you tuning in to Word of Mom Radio, thank you so much for being here with us. We are going to close out with our fabulous theme song from Smith Sisters Bluegrass. So, till next time, this is Dori DiCarlo saying go out and create a marvelous you. Bye for now.
She is sure.
She is sure.
She is strong.
She is-